You can turn in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 4. So we'll be starting another mini-series within the right hand of God. The last one we did was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're actually still in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're moving into another level of His ministry. Oh, I would say one of the more final levels that it takes to actually release the kingdom. And in releasing the kingdom, that will also mean release of answered prayer on your behalf. This will be a sermon of participation. This means this will not be one that you will hear and go home and not do, because if you don't do this, there'll be absolutely no benefit. But if you do, there will be most incredible benefit, and it won't be as hard as you think. Amen? So let's begin here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Wow, is he a wonderful high priest. You're going to get to know him a lot in the next 21 days, I'm going to assure you. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And he says, "Now let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." That's the throne where he resides. That's where the mercy seat is. And that's the first thing you'll be doing, is obtaining mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, the throne of grace encompasses the entire inheritance of Christ. As you know, he ascended on high and the Father appointed him heir of all things. And in appointing him heir of all things, he inherited all of these things in the throne of grace. But the throne of grace is where distributions made by the person of the Holy Spirit, but your participation will be necessary. Now, one of the things I was asking the Lord 3 days ago was why we're still not seeing the release after we've come so far. Why are we not seeing the fruit, the materialization, the manifestation for answered prayer, for apostolic demonstration, well, transference, glory, riches in glory, power, blessings, love, peace, joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm like, it'd sure be nice if we ever get some of that. You know how few people actually walk in joy? You know why? That most of those stuff's cut off? I do now. But we're going to get it all washed away, amen? And you're going to see a mighty flow in the Holy Spirit over these next couple of weeks. Even the next couple of days is going to be able to release, because what's been hindering and binding him, we're going to address. Amen. If you'll go now to Matthew 6, as you know, we've been in there and he was talking about prayer and entering into thy closet, shutting the door. And we've talked about that. And we talked about the right hand of God. We talked about the Lord's Prayer being prayed in the closet where you've shut the door to the world, the flesh, the devil, and all of that. It's just amazing now. The one of the parts that we didn't touch at the bottom of this prayer, I found out every time almost the Lord spoke about prayer, he also spoke about dealing with something. Amen. Now we're going to pick up his prayer for the sake of time, verse 9 in Matthew 6. "After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now we know Jesus, when he sat at the right hand, he inherited that kingdom, appointed heir of all things. And the Father said, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So here in the Lord's Prayer, we're praying for the kingdom that he inherited in the right hand of God, that spiritual kingdom, to come into the earth for manifestation, to come into the earth for materialization. And it's the Holy Spirit, as we know, that's making that transition. He's transmitting that kingdom here. Now, without his transference, We will not see the manifestation because he is the only qualified representative to take a spiritual kingdom and manifest it into this natural kingdom. Now, that manifestation is what we all desperately need. We need it in the form of healing, interiorly, exteriorly. We need it in the form of deliverance. The body of Christ desperately need of deliverance. We're in need of provision. All of what he inherited is everything we need. We're in need of his power, his wisdom, his glory, his grace, his love, his peace. All the things that flow that we normally don't have when we walk around like dead people walking. Religious people, but we have no flow. We have no river of life flowing through us. We just have a system. That's not what God wants. He came to give us life and for that life to flow freely. And if the Holy Spirit's blocked, he cannot bring that through, see. And there's things that block him. When I'm finding out, there's a lot of stuff. And I had no idea. And neither do you. If I didn't have an idea, I can assure you, you didn't have an idea either. Amen? Okay, so verse 9 says, after this manner, pray you. You're going to lie and pray. So he's talking about prayer. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, he's going to get into a subject that he talks about every single time we go to pray. Verse 12, forgive us of our debts. That's in particularly trespasses, more in particularly sin. As we forgive our debtors or those who trespassed against us. Now, before I begin this, every single one of you, I am quite certain, as I was about 7 days ago, that you've probably forgiven everybody. That you have no unforgiveness working in you. Of course, I thought that too, after 3 days under his microscope. And I'm looking at probably at least another 21 days for him to get the mountain of stuff that I have buried inside of me. I can know exactly why he can't manifest what I've been praying for. And you will too. After I show you what he's talking about. Amen. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. So look at that. Kingdom, power, and glory. When are we going to get kingdom, power, and glory? You see? Now look at this. He goes on to say, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, look at this, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, he's not talking about salvation, because here's a man's already been saved here. He's not talking about forgiving you for salvation. He's forgiving you of trespasses that are being done with one another. These trespasses called offenses, these trespasses are what's causing the issues and the blockages of answered prayer and the literal transference of the kingdom. This is why we're not feeling and experiencing the full reign of the Holy Spirit, because there are trespasses that are within our foundation. That though you may forgive and you may not be angry at somebody, you might not be enraged over a situation or bitter, there's still things there. How do I know that? Because I got a ton of them. Because I found out how to open the gate. Because I found out what forgiveness is and the next level of forgiveness. A lot of us do forgive. You ever had someone deeply wound you? How many of you have been walking with the Lord at least 5 years? Raise your hand. Have you ever been deeply wounded in that 5 years? Raise your hand. Jesus said this in Luke. He said unto his disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come. That's a really interesting wording, isn't it? It's impossible, but that offenses will come. You know what he said? You live in this world. It's an impossibility to believe that you will walk with me and live free of an atmosphere that an offense will not come at you. You are asking for an impossible circumstance that God himself cannot provide for you. Offenses will come. Now, as we grow, we learn to deal with certain levels of offenses, but then there's those ones that are blindside you. The blindside is when you don't know, and that person drives something so deep in you that you're sitting there with that thing driven in there. Now, most of us, for the most part, will bring that to the Lord, and we'll obtain enough forgiveness. But here's the first thing we want to do. I'm telling you, I know I've done this. I forgive you, but I need to get away from you. Far away. Because I am deeply wounded. And sometimes it's good to get away from that person that deeply wounded you. Sometimes it's good to get out of that atmosphere. A person cannot deeply wound you unless they're very close to you. That unfamiliar friend that lifts the heel against you. When you get deeply wounded, what oftentimes you'll get enough processing where you'll forgive them from a distance, but there's residue left within you. There's a residue of an offense left within you, and that doesn't go away until it's properly loosed by the Holy Ghost and the love. Because Jesus gave specific instructions when something's deeply wounded you. Now, here's the deal. When you get deeply wounded, you don't deal with that. Guess what? The next one comes along to be a lot easier to wound you because you now have a wounded heart. Now, if you're a man or a strong-willed woman, we have a real good way of covering that up. You know, I can take this. I'm a pretty tough guy. And you can take it. And guess what? You can walk around and you can function. But you get numb. Don't mistake numbness for healing. Don't mistake numbness for being made whole. Because what we do is we cover it over with a certain salve called numbness. I've forgiven you enough that I'm not bitter for you, but if your name gets mentioned in the conversation, I'll jump in real quick. That person that wounded you, you hadn't served for them, someone starts talking about them, you wanted to jump in that conversation. You can't wait. You know what? I'm going to tell you something about that. I know none of you've done that, but I'm a pastor and I've done it plenty. Another thing you hear of their good fortune. Somebody tells you, man, you believe they're getting blessed, and you're thinking, how can they be blessed after what they've done to me? You know why? Because you haven't loosed that situation yet. It's still there. More than that, there's probably compounded stuff there. Over years, when we learn to be numb, we get compound after compound after compound after compound. That stuff residing in us, though we may not be bitter, because there's a progression to offenses. I'm going to give you the progression. Most of you have a controlled enough walk with God, you stop at a certain level, but here's the progression. It all begins with an offense. All right? The offense turns into resentment. Resentment turns into unforgiveness. At this point in the unforgiveness is where it gets bound to you. I'll talk to you about being bound here in a minute. The unforgiveness turns to bitterness. Generally, we stop right there. Somewhere between resentment and unforgiveness is where we live. Other people take it into bitterness. Bitterness is when you're in trouble. Because the root of bitterness will defile many things. It'll defile your whole land. You know why it'll defile? Because your father cannot forgive the trespass because it was not properly forgiven. Because he can't forgive it, the Holy Spirit cannot manifest many parts of the kingdom you're looking for him to manifest. But your gift realm, where he's gifted you by grace, that'll keep going. That's why a preacher can have sin in his life, stand up here and preach with all that stuff. Because there's certain things in the gift realm, even in my place, I have a revelation gift. My revelation gift did not cut off with all this stuff in me. It kept going. But I couldn't get the fruit of the revelation. Because all this stuff that I didn't even know was there. Once the unforgiveness turns to bitterness, bitterness to anger, anger to hatred, hatred to violence, violence to murder, murder to death. That's how someone can commit murder. But we usually control it at a certain level. There's not a lot of bitter people in here. I know you. You're not bitter. But there are deep things within you. All of us are different about how we cover it up. Generally, we learn to numb it over because there's a certain faculty within us that allows us to numb pain. Once we get it numbed, we feel okay and we actually exist. The problem is we don't get this free flow of the kingdom. We're not having this stuff happening to us. And we hear about these people. And it's how you know someone's deeply wounded. You get in their presence, you feel really uncomfortable around them. Why do you feel uncomfortable around them? It's an unresolved issue. Okay. Go to Mark 11 real quick. Here again, he's talking about prayer and moving of mountains and having faith in God. Mark 11, 22, he says, Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. How many of you think you've forgiven everybody? Raise your hand. You may have. And what you consider forgiveness. How many of you loose them? That is the important part. He says, verily I say in verse 23, whosoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith come to pass, he'll have whatever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. So he's talking about prayer again. Believe that you receive them. So here you're looking for God to move the mountain. You believe you receive. And now watch what he says again. When you stand praying. Forgive. You know, somebody told me about a couple months ago. This person real close to me said, you know, you might not receive this, but I think you've got unforgiveness in your life. You know what I did? Rawr. I barked at him. I did. Do you have any idea I can't be carrying unforgiveness? Because in my mind, I didn't. And really, I didn't have unforgiveness as we would deem unforgiveness. But I had a whole lot of unresolved situations that never had resolved because when that particular situation happened to me, it affected me in a major way. I let it go. I went on, you know, and there's times I'd let my mouth talk about it, but it was still there. It wasn't in the form of bitterness, but it was still there. When I thought about that person, you know, I didn't want that person's best. I don't want to hear about blessings of that person. When somebody started talking about that person blessing, I didn't want to hear that. Last thing you want to do is see someone blessed that deeply wounded you. You know why? They trespassed against you, and in your heart, they're indebted to you. You owe me a debt. How could God ever do that to you? You're indebted. You're not looking for their goodness. So in a sense, you do forgive them because you go on and exist. But in other instances, you didn't fully let the Holy Spirit deal with the situation he wanted to. And what I'm going to show you is how to turn that around. Whether you ever talk to them again or not, you will absolutely fall head over heels in love with them. With his love, you will cry over them, weep over them, intercede over them. But you cannot do that with your love. You don't have that kind of love, especially when you've been wounded. The greatest love in the world is the love that overcomes the greatest pain. Now, here's what we do. When we suffer massive wounds, in the beginning, especially ministry, people want to run. Get me out of here. I'm out of here, God. I've had enough of that. As you mature a little bit, you learn to embrace the suffering. You know, the Spirit of glory is operating in you. You're going to be persecuted. There's going to be injustice be done to you. People are not going to like you. They're going to turn against you. They're going to lift their heel against you. They're going to love you one day and hate you another day. And that's the way it's going to be. There might be that person at work you just don't get along with. You realize, whether you ever say another word to them, there is a place that you can come to. You absolutely love them. Until you do. You haven't ranked into the overcomer. The Lord told me this. He said, you've learned to endure. You've learned to suffer. You've learned not to run. And that was important. Because you can never grow if you run from every pain that you receive. I can never use you if you run from pain. because you're going to get a lot of it. But now I want to teach you how to overcome. I want to teach you the power of my love to overcome anything a human being here on this earth could do to you. You don't think it's powerful enough? Look at Stephen. When he was standing there looking in the right hand of God, they were chunking stones at him by the order of Saul himself. And he said, Father, forgive these men. He was so full of the glory of God. He was able to forgive them and loose them right there. When he did, they gave those clothes, the bloody clothes of Stephen, and Paul put them in his bag and carried them with him. And those garments cried out, and God found him on the road to Damascus. You know why God went after him? Because Stephen loosed him. Now, there's a difference between forgiving and loosing. Forgiveness is the first stage. But if you don't remit and don't loose it, it's hard to loose somebody you're not in love with. What you don't understand, if you don't adequately deal with it, that person is going to be bound to you. Whether you like it or not, they'll be with you. They can be with you for years. They can live and they're bound to you. Finish with Mark. He said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you the trespass. If he doesn't forgive the trespass, you will not receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit to release the kingdom. That's why you can do so many things. You can give, you can pray, you can be faithful, you can serve. And nothing's happening. Blocked out. Heaven's like brass. Sometimes you just fold your arms and say, what am I doing here? You ever get like that? I'm just tired of all this warfare. Do you know the enemy has nothing on the power of the Holy Ghost when he's flowing through you? The Holy Ghost can just trample him down so fast. But you've got to get the Holy Spirit to release like that. And if he is blocked because we're blocked and the Father's not able to forgive the trespass, I know the place the Father's forgiving the trespasses. I know how to get him to do that. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is heaven, forgive your trespass. Not going to happen. Now, when one of these gets through, it starts building. It's one of the most silent weapons of the enemy in the church today. A lot of wounded people walking around with smiles on their face. But they don't have the flow of the kingdom in their life. The flow of answered prayer, the favor resting upon them. They don't have that Midas touch on them. Goodness and mercy flowing. Right now, in the last 3 days, I kid you not, I've had at least 10 times asked the Lord to stop. I had to walk out today. I simply had to walk out. I said, I cannot take. I'll come back. He wants to do more and faster than I can go right now. I cannot take the burning of his love. It's so intense and so great and so wonderful. And he is purging things. I can't wait till tomorrow. Last night I went in there and he just removed something. Somebody that deeply wounded me. I had an infusion of God's life in me that I could not sleep all night long. I went to bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. Literally, Anna was getting up. I was going to bed. It was exhilarating. Something awakened in me because the Holy Spirit was able to release. When he gets released in cleaning your threshing floor, he has a winnowing fork. When he cleans that threshing floor out, when he does that, every prayer you ever prayed is coming down the pipe. Your calling's coming down the pipe. Joy, righteousness, peace coming down the pipe. Glory, blessings coming down the pipe. You'll see things different. You'll see people differently. I walked in on, I said, we will not ever speak against this person ever again in this household. Not another word. If their name is mentioned, we will glory God on their behalf. I am so in love. If the people walk through that door, they have no idea how much I have loved them in the last 3 days. Because I know where to bring them. And I know where to obtain the Father's mercy. And you're going to know that too. And we're going to do this.
It's not a one-time thing, my friend.
That's where we've missed it. We got away from this person. You prayed the prayer. You might have been so, Father, I forgive them. Amen. But you still got the stuff in you. And you don't get the stuff out. That's the stuff that's blocking. You may not be bitter. You don't want to be around that person. You got around them, you feel really uncomfortable around them. You know why? Because all that stuff's in there. I'm going to teach you how to get all that out. Say booyah. All right, go to Matthew 18. The whole chapter is dealing with unforgiveness and offenses. Sowing offenses, receiving offenses, how to handle offenses. It's a very powerful chapter. All right, we're going to pick this up right in the middle of the chapter. He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass. You know what trespass is? They came into your land and violated you. That's what a trespass is. They're violators. They come and violate you. There's a whole lot of ways people can violate you. They can violate you financially, emotionally, physically. They can violate you in many ways, and the devil will see to it. You're going to get violated. Nobody in here is going to escape that. And if you have escaped, just get close to God, and I can assure you, you start climbing the mountain of God, and the enemy will see to it. Someone's going to try to violate you. They're going to trespass against you. You know, when you were growing up, God lets you do a lot of things and get away with a lot of things. He won't let you get away when you start growing up. Like those people at work, you having that problem with that boss or that person. That's the last thing I do is want to see. Just keep me away from that person and I'll be fine. That's the very one that your ticket to the love of God is right through that person. If you knew how to access the love of the Father on that person, you would learn how. The reason why you don't like them, because they violated you. Because they violated you, I don't like them because they violated me. I don't want nothing to do. You take your side, I'll take my side. This is how we function in the kingdom. Father, I forgive them. I love them. I can't be around them. I love you, but I don't have to like you. Have you ever heard that? So somebody told me that time, that, you know, God told me I have to love you, but I don't like you very much. The brother trespass. He talks about how to deal with a trespass. Go to your brother. Now, I'm going to tell you, before you start going to somebody trespass against you, if you're not healed and whole, it's not really a good idea to go get in their presence and take two or three, because you're generally going to get a big argument going. I'm going to tell you some things to do by the time you do get in front of a person. Let the Holy Spirit orchestrate something like that. Don't start writing letters and everything. Don't try to get in front of somebody. Let Him orchestrate that. I'm going to tell you first how to get whole. When you get you whole, you get this thing dealt with. You're in totally in love with Him. When you do see them, they go, how can you love me like this? Because you're not going to be approaching them with your love. There is a power in the throne of God that you can access, that's so readily accessed by loving your enemies. I mean, there's many ways to access, but that is one of the greatest ways if you choose to access the love of the Father on the behalf of your enemy. And the Bible says to love your enemy. I started thinking about, I said, how do I actually love my enemy? Generally, if they're my enemy, we're not in one another's company very much. So actually, how do I actually love my enemy? How would you love your enemy you can't see, that doesn't want to talk to you, that hates you and speaking evil against you? Well, I just show kindness. Well, how are you going to do that? Generally, it's just you're walled up, and I'm going to protect my emotions when I hear anything about the enemy hurling darts at me. And that's my way of loving them. How else are you going to love them? You going to call them up? They hang up on you? I mean, how do you actually actively love your enemy that doesn't want to talk to you, doesn't want to speak with you, does not want to be in your presence, and you really don't want to be in their presence? How do you actually do that? I'm glad you asked. Well, God asked me that question, of course. I said, I don't know. How do I do that? Now, before we start going to people, I'm going to show you what to do with these people, where to bring them. I'm going to show you how to get you whole and them whole. You have the power to get them whole too. Now, they may still not want to talk to you, but you have the power to get their sin forgiven, their trespass forgiven from the Father. You have the power to be that intercessor. And so a lot of people, you know, I really don't want to do this. I really like things the way they are. Trust me, when you start accessing the greatness of His love, you will so fall in love with the process. You won't believe how much stuff's in you to begin with. I don't even choose it anymore. I went in today, I was praying over somebody, and He brought somebody else up. I didn't even think about this person, haven't thought about them, and I started weeping uncontrollable over them for 45 minutes. I couldn't believe it. Okay, go to verse 18. For I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on the earth, now He's talking about offenses, trespasses, and then He puts this, He tells Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Why are these keys? Because this is what's causing the obstruction or the release of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom of God through you into the earth. If He can't get it through you, you're going to be dried up. You're going to the wilderness. You're going to the tormentors. It's not the tormentors you think. Whatever you bind on the earth, look at this, shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say, if two of you agree on earth is touching anything, they shall ask. See, we're talking about prayer again. But He's saying, whatever you bind on the earth, listen. If that person comes and trespasses against you and they violate your land and you don't properly deal with it under kingdom mandates and guidelines, what's going to happen is you're, in essence, that person's going to get bound to you. How do I know if someone's bound to me? Have you ever been wounded by somebody and they've been out of your presence for 3 years and you still feel it? You still think about it? Every once in a while, you'll lay in there and you think about the injustice that was done. Over time, time doesn't really heal. Time just covers. There's a difference between covering something up. Over time, the more time that goes by, it's just more and more covering over it. So you don't think about it as much. But guess what? It's been bound to you. If it's not been properly loosed, guess what? It's obstructing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I had no idea how much stuff was actually bound up in there. But He says, what if you loose, if that person's properly forgiven, properly loosed, the way I'm going to teach you, the way the Holy Spirit taught me, when that's loose, your Heavenly Father forgives the whole thing. When He forgives it, He releases the Holy Spirit to move on the behalf of your prayers and bring the glories of the right hand of God through you on your behalf and on the behalf of others. Because you have nothing binding you. But if it's bound, He's bound. Write that down. If someone's bound in you, He's bound too. That's why we get partial stuff from God, and the bigger stuff we're looking for, we can't ever seem to get our hands on it. Now, that word trespass, verse 15, if your brother trespass, it comes from a Strong's word, G264. And it's hamaritano, okay? Say hamaritano. Americano. No, hamaritano. Go to John chapter 20. Hamaritano. I never understood this verse until today. It's an amazing verse. Verse 22. When He had said this, He breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, in Acts 2, they received the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, but they received the Holy Ghost when He breathed on them. All right? He's there. What's the first instruction He gives them when He breathes on them? Whatever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. I'm like, since when do we have the power to forgive sins? The Lord said, I didn't say that. I did not say that. He said, go look that up. You know, I went and looked up that word sins. Do you know what that word is? G264. Hamaritano. It's the exact same word that was out of Matthew 18. If thy brother shall trespass against you. Now let's read it like that. If a man's trespass against you that you remit, or you let go, remit means to let go, to give up, to forgive, to keep no longer. He said it like this: whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven. Look at this. Whosoever's trespass you remit, they are remitted. First instruction he gives. When he breathes on them, the Holy Spirit comes into them. Understand this. Whoever's trespass you remit will be remitted. And whosoever's trespass you retain, it will be retained in you. By the way, get what I'm saying to you. That Holy Ghost I just gave to you has been given the glories of the right hand. He receives his mind. He is here to transmit it to you, the glories of the right hand. But if you retain a trespass, he's cut off. I've retained a whole lot of trespasses. I've forgiven them enough to the place that I'm not bitter at them. But that trespass has been retained, and I got a bunch of them because I've been pastoring a while, made a whole lot of mistakes. And making those mistakes, I had a whole lot of people. They made mistakes too. There's a lot of stuff that's happened over 14 years. I wanted to go stuff before 14 years. The Lord said, let's just stay in the 14-year time frame because we're going to be here for a while. You know, I'm trying to venture down in there, but it really, it's kind of like Sozo. I'm not choosing who I'm praying for. He chooses them. He opens it. Here's the deal. If you've retained somebody, if you get that person in the light with God where I'm going to tell you to bring them, when he brings it there, it's going to be like the day it happened. You're going to feel every feeling. You're going to feel the joy of emotion of their friendship. You're going to feel the pain of their swords. It's all going to be there. I said, how could all this be in me? He said, son, it's in many. Here's how you know if you've got a bound, an offense that's been retained, a trespass that's been bound to you. Here are some of the fruits. So you'll get to know them because they're not sometimes easy recognizable. The enemy works in darkness. He likes to be hidden so he can control you year after year after year and keep you from dealing with what's causing the problem from the flow of God through you. I'm going to see the richest levels of God's favor on my life. I am going to see his blessing come over me. And this church is going to be so blessed. We're not going to know what to do with ourselves. As we are going to clear the threshing floor out of every one of you that want it cleared. But don't think it's going to happen in one little service. Because you're actually going to become an intercessor to these people till you love them. The only way to truly loose them is you're going to go into the throne of grace with them. They're already with you, believe me. You have no idea how much they're with you. If you've retained it, they're there. You ever heard of soul ties? They're bound in you. I break this soul tie. That means I want you to get out of my life. There's no love there. You want to break a soul tie, you let the Holy Ghost come in there. When he's done, you will so love that person. You'll love them more than the day they walked in the church, the day that caused that friendship to develop. You'll love them again because his love is so amazing. Don't even think for a minute you're going to do this with your love. We're going to access his love on the behalf of a trespass. I'm going to show you how to do that. Because if we've retained a trespass, well, how do I know? It won't take long. If I had you bow your heads, he'd probably put three people in front of you. And I'll venture to say for every three he puts in front of you, there's 10 more behind them that you don't even know what you've buried. I had no idea. I don't care anymore. I'm having such a fun time loving these people. I can't wait to who I meet next. I said, who else? I'm a glutton for it now. You know why? Because I'm getting free. I am experiencing the love of God like I wanted it. I'm experiencing a freedom, although I can only take so much because it's intense to relive this stuff. But I'm reliving it in perfect love. I'm going to show you how to obtain healing for both you and them. Whatever sins you remit or whatever trespass you remit, if you let it go, the Father's going to release it in heaven and the Holy Spirit's going to be able to do what he does. If you retain it, It'll have to be retained in heaven. The Father cannot forgive the trespass. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's ministry is bound in your life. You are headed for the wilderness. There is no other place for a retained offense for you to live but in that dreadful, awful wilderness until that retained offense is dealt with. Now, let me tell you this too. The last thing you want to do is go jump in. If you come out of a dysfunctional relationship that was very intense and painful, don't think God's asking you to go jump right back into that. That is the very last thing. I am not telling you to do that. I'm going to tell you where to bring that person. Sometimes, even when you do get healed, you're going to have to exercise some boundaries around some of these people because they have the same swords. Wisdom will tell you don't walk right in the middle of the sword again. Just because you're going to be healed and made whole, the difference is you will have perfect love towards them. But he's not giving you a license to go get entangled up in that again. You understand? I'm going to show you how to get free of these people and what they've done and these trespasses. You won't believe how many there are. It's going to take some time. That's why we're going to do this during this fast. We're going to clear the threshing floor. Because sometime you're going to spend hours with them in the presence of God. Say hours, but it'll be the greatest thing you've ever done. I wish somebody had taught me this stuff. All right, let's continue with Matthew. Let's look at 20. I'm going to try to pick it up because I want to get you into the process. Matthew 18, verse 20 now. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Then Peter comes to him. Oh, yeah, here comes Peter. Start talking about unforgiveness. Peter, you know, he was a live wire. He had big vision. I'm glad he asked the question. I didn't have to ask. Peter said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Seven, Lord? He said, I say unto you, not unto you seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. Okay, that's 490 times in a day. That's 100 offenses for every 5 minutes. Well, that's impossible. What was he saying there? He said, there's no other option, Peter. Don't even think. Forgiveness is a foundational necessity for a kingdom that flows by love and love alone. My Father's kingdom is a kingdom of love. God is love. And everything that's going to flow by way of the Holy Spirit will come out of love. And if there is a trespass there, it will stop the flow. You must deal with every one of them. But you don't have to deal with them in your own strength. That's what we've been doing. You know, a psychiatrist can dig out a problem. Get in there and they'll dig out the offense. They'll dig it out to where you'll see it. You know all the stuff hidden? People go to psychiatrists and psychiatrists can actually dig in to the soul where stuff's bound. To the retained offense. But here's what the psychiatrist can do. He can open it up and you can cry. Because you're going to feel the feeling of it when you open up and cry. But he doesn't have the power to heal and then loose it. He didn't have to do that. Only the Holy Spirit can truly help you loose that and give it to the Father. That's the second level of forgiveness that virtually is untapped by the church. That's why there's a whole lot of wounded people that walk around that do not know how to get healed. And we're wanting the flow of the kingdom. We're in the final leg of it. I wish he'd have taught me going up. I said, well, how come I'm not going up? He said, son, I present you faultless before the Father. You can come to my throne of grace with all your problems. What did I say? Come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Coming to me, son, is free. I will accept you the way you are. But when you want my kingdom to flow through you, now we've got another story. Because you cannot afford to grieve the Holy Spirit with a retained offense. That is good. He goes on to say in this chapter, he talks about this king. You know the story. This man comes to him and he owed him 10,000 talents, hundreds of millions of dollars, debt he couldn't pay. He fell down on his feet and said, have mercy upon me. I'll pay thee all. Like, yeah, sure you will. And you know what? He said he forgave him. Now notice the words here. And he loosed him. Forgave. And loosed. Look at that, verse 27. Lord, that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. See the two things? We forgive many times, but we don't loose. You know why? It takes a little more to loose something than it does to forgive something. To forgive something, I can obtain forgiveness, but I don't know how to obtain that loosing. The reason is God's not going to let that be loosed until you love them. You could forgive them when you're away from them, get numb, you're away from them, you're not having to deal with that anymore. You've got enough forgiveness, you can go on about your life, but the loosing, because it's been retained, the Father's not going to order that retained thing to be released from you until you love them the way He's wanting you to love them. I found out how to get that done. So he goes on, and that same guy, now, here's a debt. It's like us. We come to the Lord, we get forgiven of a sin debt we could never pay. Then we turn around, and we fight over somebody over 100 pence, which is a day's wage. What is that when we come into offense with one another? And we don't forgive them? We make them indebted to us? You see how that works? Now watch what happens when you retain an offense, when you retain a trespass for which you've been forgiven of. If it's retained, guess where we go? I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been here often, more times than I want to be. I don't want to go back. In verse 31, when he saw his fellow servants what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. And the Lord, after that, called him and said to him, "Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of all that debt. And because you desired me, shouldest thou not have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" You threw him in the jail over 100 pence, a day's wage, after I forgave you of what you couldn't pay in a lifetime. The Lord was wroth. He delivered him to the tormentors. Look at this. Till he should pay all that was due unto him, so likewise my heavenly Father will do to you if you from your hearts do not forgive. Look at this word here. Everyone his brother their trespasses. Everyone his brothers their trespasses. If you have found yourself in the wilderness, it's because there is unresolved trespasses in us. And when that's there and we don't properly get it dealt with, guess what? There's no other place for us to go, because when the Holy Spirit stops flowing through us because he's grieved and the Father will not allow him because the trespass is there, when the flow of the kingdom stops, guess what? It's wilderness time. And there's a whole lot of stuff in the wilderness. Torment. Dullness. Questions, pain, heaviness, sorrow, toil. We don't have that free flow. Anybody ever been there? Ever been there with your business? Business was doing all good. Man, just rolling, all of a sudden just stopped. Shrink. I've had that happen with the church. Church is doing really good. You know, when I hit the love of God last year, I spent 6-7 weeks in the love of the Father. Right after that is when he opened that veil and we moved $50,000 debt right out of here. You know why? I was freely open. And he just was open to do that. And guess what? In comes another offense. Undetected for 9 months. Retained it. Bound it. Not anymore. All right, let me go one more here. Go to Luke 17 real quick. I want to show you something very important here. Now, Luke 17, he's right in the middle of these financial teachings. But look here in verse 1. Then he said unto his disciples, "It's impossible that offenses will come." They're coming. "Well, when the man through they come, it's better for him than a millstone was hanged about his neck. Take heed yourself, as your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him." The reason why he said rebuke on this particular one, because these are financial trespasses. If someone financially trespasses against you, you have a right to tell him of his fault. then you forgive him. He said, if he trespassed against seven times in a day, that's only because you're a fool to let him do it. But if he did it, he's trying to tell you, even with these type of trespasses, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So the apostle says, increase our faith. So he's wanting to increase faith in the area of finances. Now notice what the Lord does. He seems to diminish the operation of faith in the light of dealing with this greater subject. Now read it the way he's saying. He goes, increase your faith. He goes, man, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say in this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and cast thee, it would obey you. He goes, that's not really what you need to be majoring on. If you have just the faith of a mustard seed, your faith will work because the Holy Spirit's going to be there to help the flow of the kingdom. But if you don't deal with the trespass issue and you don't maximize that one, that's the one that's going to cut it off. And you have all the faith in the world and your faith will be cut off. You know, I turned the TV on and Evie Hillier was on this morning. It's amazing when the Holy Ghost starts cleaning you out. You become far less judgmental, far less critical. You start listening to people that you wouldn't listen to before. Man, they had something good to say. Really good. Before, I just turn them off. What a veil. You know, it's easy to get self-righteous. Man, you know what he said? He said, man, I have learned when people leave this church, I cannot afford to take an offense. He goes, it's a part of pastoring. People are going to come and they're going to go, and some come and go in different ways and some leave in hard ways. But I have learned over the years, the first thing I do is I deal with my heart and I stay with it till I've forgiven them, because I have learned that will directly affect my faith. And things will start suddenly going wrong in a church if I start walking around with an offense. How many times have I done that? No, I go bury it, bind it, retain it. Say, God bless you, I love you, but I've retained something there. How do you know? Holy Spirit's dealing with all my retainer issues. I had no idea how much retainer stuff. I said, Lord, we got a lot of junk in the trunk here. This is why Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence. Because you have no idea how well the enemy knows how to stop your flow. All he's got to do is just get you to retain something, and he'll stop the flow of the Holy Ghost. When he stops the flow of the Holy Ghost, you're no match for him. He'll beat you every day of the week without the Holy Ghost. All right, so what do we do then? I have a retained offense. How do I deal with this person that I've retained? Go to Matthew 5. Boy, the Lord gave some very awesome instructions here. We talked about this earlier. Now we're going to get into the nitty gritty of what we're going to be doing in the next 14 to 21 days. If you stay with me, I promise you, he will clear your threshing floor. Just so any of you think I'm clean, I'm cool, I got it, I'm going to give you a challenge to see how much clean and cool you got it. Because right now, as I've been teaching, you probably have already seen at least one face. How many of you in here has at least thought of one person you might have retained something? Raise your hand. How many of you have seen like two or three? Okay, we'll stop at three. Hey, we need it cleaned out. We've got to have the retained offenses lifted, purged. Now, this is a process. Don't think it's going to happen in one day. Sometimes you're not going to feel anything. But when you do, the floodgate of heaven is going to open up. You will feel. Here it is. I say unto you, love your enemies. Matthew 5:44. Now he's going to tell you how to love them. Your enemy is someone that has trespassed against you. There is a trespass between you. You're not talking. If you are, you're at each other's throats. It might be your job, might be your boss, it might be a fellow worker, it might be your husband, your wife, aunt, uncle, son, daughter, pastor of another church. Friends, man, friends are the ones, they get close. I did something out of order this year. I got offended over a financial situation. And anybody really knows me, and I know me enough over the years that I've walked with God, I don't really get offended too much over financial stuff. That's never been a weakness of mine. But I got just all out of sorts over something that happened with a dear friend of mine. And I said, Lord, I don't understand it. I've had at least 40 things that's worse than that. What is going on with me? I never could get an answer for it until I start going into the throne of grace with a certain couple. He said, that couple right there was the problem. You had a retained offense towards them, and everything else was just easily piled on at that point because it was never addressed. And you can be accessible to things that normally you're pretty strong against. My spiritual immune system was greatly weakened because I did not properly deal with the issues. When your spiritual immune system gets weakened, you'll be accessible to all kinds of stuff. People start plowing into you. That's when the enemy loves to pile it on. You ever felt like you've been piled on? You know what you do? I'll set up my guard here. I'll set up my guard here. I'll set up my guard here. You wall yourself in isolation. And guess what? Those walls won't protect you from nothing. The only way you're going to deal with that is you're going to have to go back into that retained offense. You're going to have to get that person and bring them to the throne of grace. It's not going to be as hard as you think it is because they're already with you. You don't know it because you've retained them. They're there. When you get them to the throne of grace, you're going to feel everything. But you're going to have a mighty partner there helping you. And he has something the world cannot give you. The power of the love of our Father that can wash anything away. When he's done with you, with this process, you are going to so love this person, you're not going to know what to do with yourself. But there's ones that I love that I'm not calling up just to go get in their presence because I know what they're capable of. Just because I love them now doesn't mean I'm going to go jump back in a relationship with them. Understand? Now, if the Holy Spirit tells me and if he wants to set something up and restore, I'm open for that. But I may love you. I may not trust you right now. I love my son with all that's in me, but I wouldn't give him keys to my car. He's not ready to drive this car. So you got to have a balance once he loves you. You know, you need wisdom too. Don't just go run back into it. You'll get all messed up again. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can get you so free, you're not going to know what to do with yourself. So he's going to tell you, love your enemies. Here it is. Bless them that curse you. Are you kidding me? Told Annika to set them down. I set Christine down. I set Anna down. I said, here's the way of this household from here on out. I said, when you first start doing this, you're not going to feel much, especially ones that you know that are cursing you. Father, I bless them. And the way I actually do that right now, because I'm not going to jump up in their presence, I'm seeing goodness and mercy. Because what I would do before, if I was binding somebody and I was harboring something, I was retaining, I really didn't want their goodness. In fact, there's a lot of times I say, you know, that ain't going to work for them. You know why? They owed me something. I didn't want it to work for them. I didn't want the goodness of God for them. Because I don't love them right now. Here it is, the one great commandment we have highly misunderstood. Pray for them to despitefully use you. Now, see the difference between someone uses you and persecutes you. The one who uses you still likes to be in your presence while they can use you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, you're going to get different emotions. Someone's persecuting you, you're generally going to have the more aggressive emotion. The one that's used you or the one may have betrayed you or someone that just abandoned you, walked out on you. That's a different emotion. That's a sorrowful emotion. You can get in self-pity with that. It's still bound. You're still manifesting with it. Let me give you a few of the fruits and then I'm going to share with you exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. Lack of patience. Here's a fruit that you've got retained offenses. Lack of patience, you got a short fuse and a short temper. perpetual anger, hatred, and violence, somebody has deeply wounded you. Judgmental, critical attitude. Self-pity, sorrow, heaviness, and depression. That's the ones that have hugely disappointed you. That's usually going to manifest in self-pity. Some people are real strong. You know how to cover that up, but that doesn't get it with God, because all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him that we have to do when we're in the right hand. See, you can't cover up with Him. You just cover up with one another, but it's not doing you any good. The flow of the Holy Spirit's not there. The more we grow in transparency, the less you're going to want to cover anything up, because everyone will see you covering it up. Because you start getting into the light, you're going to see everything. But you're seeing with the eyes of love, and you're just going to say, poor person covering that stuff up. Don't they know we see that? Why do you want to cover that up? Let it go. It's because that's the thing. When we get into this stuff, we want to go hide. Like Adam and Eve did. Uncomfortable feeling in the presence or at the mention of that person's name. You have harbored an offense. Feelings of pain and negative emotions towards that person. Jealousy, envy, ill will, revenge. They need to repay me. They're going to pay for what they did to me. You got a bad case of retained offense. Dullness, stagnation, lack of passion. The flow of the Holy Spirit's been cut off. You've got a retained offense. All right. When He says to love your enemies, to bless those that are cursing you, to do good to those, and to pray for those which are despitefully using you and persecuting you. He wasn't talking about this. Have you ever actually tried to do that? You don't last long if you don't know how to do this. Because the last thing you're actually going to do when someone has hurt you, someone has wounded you, someone that's actively cursing you, someone who's persecuting you, someone that's using you, the last thing you're going to actually do is start praying for them. Father, I bless them. Father, thank you for them. I bless them. I pray for them. Amen. You got all that stuff retained. You can't do that in your own love. This is the glory of what He's asking you to be an overcomer. The glory of it, He's asking you to overcome with His love, not with yours. We are professionals now at enduring the hardship. We've been professionals at suffering. But I don't want to suffer no more under the tormentors. I want to overcome. And I found something to overcome with. Why do you think that I opened this scripture today with come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace? Where you're going to pray for them is at the throne of grace, because they're already with you when you're retained. I can't believe how real it is in there. I find myself, such and such, I love you. Because that's where His love is. It's in the throne of grace. That's where His mercy is for the relationship. There's been a trespass. We must obtain the mercy for the trespass and the forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. Just bring yourself there, because they're already with you. And soon as you see that person, you say, Father, now I present such and such. Now, when you first start and do that, when you present them before the throne of grace, first thing you do is obtain the mercy. Now, when I first started doing this the first day, I didn't feel anything. I just started blessing them. And they said, I want to obtain the mercy, and then I want to obtain the grace. What is the throne of grace? It's everything He purchased, substituted Himself for, that you could have. What is it in that throne on the behalf of that relationship we need? He did something for every single controversy that mankind would ever face. He bore the price of that controversy. When He bore the price of it, you can obtain the grace. He was striped.
By his stripes we were made whole. That's why he said in the Lord's Supper, he said, do you not know his body was broken that you could be made one? Do you know in Deuteronomy chapter 25, when there was a controversy, they were brought before a court of justice, and the guilty party would receive up to 39 stripes for controversy and strife with one another. Trespasses. 39 stripes. Anybody want to go into the law? 39 stripes for a trespass. That's the ones he stepped in as the innocent lamb and said, I'll take the trespass. I'm the innocent lamb. I will allow my body to be broken. By my stripes you will be healed. When he stood in that place, when he stood there, he obtained a healing. And by his stripes you are healed. That healing is in the right hand of God. It's a grace that you can obtain on the behalf of the relationship when you bring the person there with you. I was bringing one person today, and the Holy Spirit stood up there and said, no, we're going to talk about this one today. I couldn't believe it. I lost it. You know why? Because all the pain when this person left that it caused me. I love them so dearly, and I mean every bit of it that I had retained and buried, I thought I dealt with, just shot straight up. But guess what was there? It wasn't just my pain. It was the love of the Father being ministered by the Holy Spirit, and I was obtaining grace. I obtained grace on the behalf. I obtained mercy. Forgive the trespass, Father. Forgive the trespass. I come to you, obtain the grace, Jesus. You bore those stripes. By your stripes, this trespass is healed. Your body was broken for us in the love of being administrated by the Holy Ghost. I was weeping uncontrollable over this person. And I said, Lord, do I lose them? He says, no. I want you to love them for a while here. I want you to bless them. I want you to revisit. I want you to intercede for them until love. I spent 3 days with one person. And today I loose that one person. They are officially loosed. I don't know how many more are there, because when I'm in the light, there's so much stuff, I can't believe it. But when it happened, I was watching these layers being peeled out. Already my spirit's awakening, my body's awakening, strength is flowing, the flow of the Holy Spirit's flowing again. Now we're just getting started. He said, if you did not do this here, you'd have had to do it when you got up there with me. I would have had you give an account for every trespass. But now you did it here. The Holy Spirit will be enabled to bring to pass everything you've asked me to do, that he was presently bound to flow because of all of this retained trespass. And he said, I want you and your people to come to the throne of grace for the month of January, both in fastings, but more importantly, I'm not going to have you major heavily on fasting. And I'll tell you different things you can do, different ways to fast. I'm not after that part. We want to clean the threshing floor. Because you're going to have to spend some time loving these people. But I'm going to tell you the reason why he don't want you to lose them. When you're in there loving them, it's going to be the delight of your life to re-fall in love with people that have hurt you so deeply that love can overcome in the throne of grace, that you almost can wait to just grab them and hug them. You just wish they would come through the door so you could wrap your arms around them. I was talking to a friend of mine. I was sharing this with. He says, you know, I got to go to this funeral, and every one of these people are going to be there. I said, how do you feel about that? He goes, I ain't looking forward to that at all. I said, because every one of those people, you've got a retained trespass inside you. And this guy's spending a lot of time in the Lord. I said, you're going to have to look at all that, just like I am. But I have never seen the love of the Father flow so freely, so quickly. He says, son, whenever you choose to love your enemies, it is the highest level of love. And my Holy Spirit is there to administrate that love on your behalf. You will love every one of them with free, unadulterated love. And before this is over, I'll clean it all up. and there will not be one trespass with one person with your name on it. I will forgive them. Doesn't guarantee they're going to get healed, but they will be forgiven by the Father. He will not hold the trespass against them because you are going to intercede on their behalf in the right hand of God. You'll be amazed of how quickly you can fall in love with everyone's faults, but you're so wounded, you can't love somebody when you're wounded. You're going to need to obtain His love in the right hand while you're in intercession for them. The Lord said, when we're done with this, son, I want you to come and intercede with me for the world. But right now, you're not in a position to intercede for the world because you got too much stuff in you right now. But I want you to learn to love the ones that hurt you the most, that deeply wounded you, that you've numbed over. There's no more numbing over in my kingdom. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to make all of it whole. And you're going to understand the greatness of my unconditional love to what the enemy did. And when you're through with this, there is not one thing he'll be able to throw at you. Because the second he does, when I go to media and they start attacking me with media, I'll just take that person right up in the right hand of God. I said, what can you do to me when I love you? Throw it all you've got, because all I have is love for you. I can't do that in my own strength, but I do know where to take you if you hurt me enough. If you persecute me, I know where to bring you. And I know how to obtain his love on the behalf of both of us. When you're like that, guess what? Not only is the Holy Ghost going to start running through you, God is going to start trusting you. He's going to trust us with a lot. But we will not fall to a root of bitterness. I almost did. That's why this place has been stifled so long. That's why we couldn't get off the ground. The enemy threw it, and I didn't know how to deal with it properly. But now we do. And I'm not the only one who's going to be whole around here. All of us are. Amen? Now here's what you do right now. You don't have to have a lot of knowledge. Just take that scripture. Father, I come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't worry about it. They're already in you. They're with you. The first person he shows in your mind, start blessing them. And don't even think you're going to feel something the first day, because you probably won't. Something might be very hard to ask God to bless that person. But when the Holy Spirit starts getting involved, once he releases that person and you revisit it, trust me, the emotions are going to flow. I mean, in a heartbeat. As soon as your emotion breaks, the Holy Spirit's love is going to start coming into it. You're going to have to relive some of this stuff. It's intense. You're not going to be able to just do all this in one day. It's an intensity of love that you've never imagined. Man, are you going to be whole? If you do this today, I promise some of you will probably have breakthrough by Sunday. I don't know what we're going to look like by the end of January. A whole lot of us are going to be very whole people. Amen?
I wanted to close with this word. This is a book that the Lord led me not too long ago, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God by Francis Frangipane. Some of you may have read it, because that spirit of holiness requires that purity of heart. It says, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. It says here, part one, the beginning of holiness. Think of yourself as one about to take a journey. Isn't it interesting? The last message of the year begins a journey for us into 2011. Like all expeditions, our journey starts with a departure. Long before we ever arrive at holiness, we must depart from self-righteousness and pride. If we would truly live in the presence of God, we must first travel the way of humility and truth. And the Lord was showing me, you know, these next few weeks, there's going to be a self-examination of our own hearts. And no more being critical of others. Judge not, lest you receive the judgment wherein you have sowed. And not come into agreement with people that may begin being critical of others, because these alliances get formed and then your heart gets turned against that person and says, have no part in that. But the Lord was showing me in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, we usually want to think more of ourselves than really who we are. You know, we can often have that camera-ready smile, but deep inside there are iniquities hidden in our heart, and we're blind to these things. But in this time, this journey that we're going to be entering into, the light of Christ will come upon those things and allow you, as Pastor Larry was sharing, to see the impurities in our hearts, those people we've held in our hearts. And the Word says in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The Spirit of the Lord will do this. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. You know, there are kings in here. There are priests in here. And this is the time that we're entering into, that this journey that we're embarking on of self-examination. But it's moreover the examination of the Holy Spirit in our heart, shining the light in those areas, things that we've been blind to and sometimes have been afraid to look at. It's kind of just been coping with the pain and just surviving and enduring. But the Lord is going to be bringing up people. This is going to be a message that's going to continue. And I'm very excited about it, to be honest with you. It's like, you know, and the power of the Holy Spirit is on something. And that light of that candle, the Holy Spirit, is going to shine in our own hearts. And that we refuse to give into criticism and judging others critically in any way. Or it's a form of gossip. You know, when we speak evil against one another, we become an accuser of the brethren.
This dear lady back here sharing something with me, Nectie, and she was sharing to me that she saw something in here 3 months ago. She saw a fox in the spirit walking through here. I told her, I said, you know, I know what that fox is now. It's the little foxes that are spoiling the vine. It's the ones we've retained. She also saw an owl sitting up here in the spirit. It was an owl. And she said it was covered over, but he opened his eyes. She was, I didn't know if he could see, but then he just opened his eyes. I said, I know what that owl is. He's opening our eyes to the little foxes that spoil the vine. She just walked up to me right before the service, had no idea what I was going to speak on. And that was what the Lord was ministering. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is a time where you're going to learn to go before the Lord, and you're going to have an experience. Now, remember, when you first start going in, when you start blessing them and praying the goodness of God over them and praying for them and asking the Lord to heal the relationship, you're not going to feel everything instantaneously. Once he breaks that first person open and the love of God starts flowing, it will cause a chain reaction to every other hidden and retained offense. He'll come so fast, I can go out there for 3 minutes and he'll be on it. In fact, I have to stop because the intensity of the love, I said, okay, I can't go to another person right now. I have to walk out of there because somebody else was right there ready to go. And I'm like, I can't do that. It's too much. I'm tired. But then after I've processed, the glory starts filling my body and I'm ready to go again. Amen? So you got to do it until the love breaks forth. So bring them to the throne of grace. You're obtaining mercy and grace. You're obtaining healing on the behalf of the offense, on the behalf of the trespass. Trust me. Don't be proud to think that you don't have any of this. We all have it. And a whole lot of it. Amen?
But I'm here to tell you that God will see to it. He will make the way because he sees your heart that you don't want it. And he will open that door for you. 2 days ago, this person began emailing me. The first thing I wanted to do was logically go in and start explaining to them. They were skirting issues, and I'm a logical person, so I wanted to hit it. I had written 3 paragraphs before I even knew what I was doing. And telling him just exactly how it was, he emailed me back. He had the love. I mean, there was at one time a very deep love between the two of us. After he came back to me, the Lord said to me, just like this, do not write one thing. Then I waited till the next day because he just kept coming back. And I put in the subject line, I love you and I forgive you. I didn't put anything in a paragraph. That's all I put to him. And when he responded back to me, it was just brokenness and love. That's not the end of the story. Night before last, I went to bed. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up weeping, because this is what was said to me. The angels of the Lord are coming for him. Now, I didn't know if that was death. I sensed that something bad was going to happen in intercession for that person. I wept and cried, Father, bless him. Father, I pray that you save him from any destruction. And from that came the release. And that is somebody that I did not want to be around because of things that had gone on. I did email him back that day too and said, if I could help you, I would. And I've talked to him about the Lord and talked to him about the Lord. But the Lord is going to do something in his life. And he did tell me when all of this first began, he said, what I'm going to do through this horrible, painful situation, I'm going to bring glory to my name to every single person that's involved in this. I will use this circumstance to bring glory to me. My name is going to be glorified through all the healing. And so that's what we look for, is God, you move and you be glorified in this and you work through this. And that's exactly what he's going to do. I have prayed. I've bound the Satan. I've done everything I've known to do, and not one bit of it has worked. But this is going to work.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen.
It's working. Yeah. I'll tell you, when you go in there and that love starts breaking out for that person, that's the time that you keep bringing them again. There's only so much of that love you're going to be able to do in one session, okay? There's only so much. And so when you go back, just bring that person again and start loving on them. In the presence of the Lord, at the throne of grace, start loving them. They're part of you. You've retained them. Tell them you love them. You're going to feel very real. Sometimes you'll feel that they're in your presence. And you're going to extend love to these people. And forgiveness. And then there's going to be a time after you have thoroughly loved them that God will say, now you can loose them to me. Now you truly love them. Now give them to me. And they're mine. Because sometimes you're not going to revisit that relationship. And when you do, you have to have wisdom to revisit it. Sometimes you will. At that point, instructions may come from God saying, now I want you to write them a letter. Do something. Call them up. But don't do that till you have properly loosed them. Till you've gotten to that point. And be very patient with this. Because he may want you to spend a week with somebody in his presence. But you're going to very much enjoy this. I'm telling you, you're going to end up loving these people like you never did before. They may never know you're doing this. And that doesn't really matter to you because you're going to be made whole.
The whole point is just be willing to be willing. Be willing to be made willing. Because there's no offense that you can't let go of. This is what we're fighting for. This is the kingdom that's being released as you're sharing and as you're going in and you're taking these people and you're holding them in this place with him. You're releasing kingdom, and kingdom will change lives.
I got to say this. When Stephen, they're stoning him, and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When he loosed, he was standing in the right hand of God because he saw Jesus standing in the right hand of God. Right there, he was interceding for Saul. He said, forgive them. And he loosed him right there. A lot of times what's going to happen when you obtain the forgiveness of the trespass, Stephen died under this. Saul's the one that ordered his killing. God went after Saul and converted him because he was loosed to do so. That trespass was not held against Paul or Saul at the time. Because it was not held, God was able to go after and convert him. Isn't that amazing? So you don't know what's going to happen to the other person once you obtain healing and forgiveness of the trespass that's happened in the relationship. God's not going to hold it against you or them. It's actually going to free them to prosper. And things may have been bound up because they're holding it too. It's going to free them. All right?
You know, as LaRue was bringing this revelation, I mean, this is something that we have done in Sozo, because Sozo is healing and deliverance and forgiveness, that you experience wholeness. But again, anybody who's experienced Sozo, it's really what you do after. And causing this to become a lifestyle of prayer, love-motivated intercession for those that have wounded you, whether it's a family member, a friend, a spouse, ex-spouse, you know, continually taking them into the throne room, that love will overtake you. And you'll be weeping and weeping and weeping. Such a love is going to come over you for them to keep presenting them over and over and over again. And then you release them. And I want to share with you, because this is something we as a people have been striving for. So we really, it's Psalm 24. We desire that holiness, the fullness of God. And I'll close with this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, that hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation. This, us, you, I, we, us, our children. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The King of glory shall come in.